listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolli right here on LA Talk Radio.
Michael Sterling.
And I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you don't look like one.
No, well, no one could tell because we're on the radio.
That's
How do you
true.
Like the pumps?
That's true. They've got to take my word.
They work for me? You know, it's hard to find size 14 men's
I
pumps.
I would imagine it is.
Not to mention the open toe doesn't work for me because, as you know, my second toe, width and length of my pinky. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
It is. It's freakish. It is freakish. If I ever lose a digit, if I ever lose my pinky, I can actually replace it with my second toe and no one will know the difference.
Well, how many people can say that?
I'm just that much of a freak physically. I'll tell you, we go to the store, Michael. You know, Monica and I go to the store. It's two questions. What's the smallest women's size you have?
That's his
wife. And the largest men's size you have. And we both leave disappointed, thank God for Zappos.
Wow.
It saves the humiliation of having to turn around sheepishly at the door while people, you know, because they think they're so helpful. You know, what's the largest man's size you have? Well, no, it's okay. We have some sizes in a 12. Like, great. Can you sell me the boxes?
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway.
Well,
we'd like to
at least you don't have to have them special made. Right?
That's true. That's true.
Sure.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com. I should get the sponsor's name right.
It would be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. We'd also like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our weekly live arts calendar, which will be coming up with about the half hour in the show today.
And we want to, before we talk about our week, we want to say who we have here with us today. Joining us in studio today, a woman who's made iconic pop cultural roles an essential part of her resume, from SpongeBob SquarePants to The Drew Carey Show to Entourage. She is currently playing the legendary redhead and title role in I Love Lucy Live at the Greenway Court Theater. Please welcome Serena Irwin.
The crowd is so adoring.
Aren't they?
They are.
Really amazing. Well,
we bring them in special.
Just for you.
Thank you.
And also joining us in studio, ladies and gentlemen, a gentleman who most recently worked with the Andak Stage Company in the world premiere of Dakin. Am I saying that right? Dakin?
Dakin Matthews.
Dakin Matthews, musical, Liberty Inn. Along with far too many credits to list here, he shares the Herculean task of creating the other half of television's favorite couple, currently bringing Ricky Ricardo to life in I Love Lucy Live. Please welcome Bill Mendieta.
We not only bring in an audience, but we also brought in the Who today.
Yeah.
Now that's unbelievable.
Special.
Yes. Well, they need the work.
They're
aging.
Aren't they on tour right now? Oh,
yes, they are.
Yeah, right.
And we're delighted to have both of you and very anxious to talk about the show. But before we get to that, Michael, how was your week?
It was good, Paul. I actually had the pleasure of hanging out with Sally Struthers, the great Sally Struthers, who was a guest on this show just a couple weeks ago. And she just opened 2 weekends ago in Annie, the musical, for Cabrillo Music Theater out of Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. And I must tell you, she was born to play Miss Hannigan.
Miss Hannigan
in this in this show.
You did. I saw your piece on Broadway World that you did.
Yeah,
for that. Yeah. Nice little video.
Thank you. She pulled out all the stops. She was something else. I mean, she got a huge standing ovation at the end of the show when she came out. So it was very exciting. But the whole show was a beautiful production. It was a little different than one would expect. It really concentrated on the dramatic elements that are not often concentrated on in that show. Those smaller moments between Annie and Oliver Warbucks and. It was precious, and the little girl that played Annie was spectacular.
Wow.
You know, somewhere, an old soul inside this 12-year-old girl. Mm. She was real.
It seems like you have to have that in order to play that role, right?
Yeah, you have to have a big understanding of you know, the character, certainly, and the relationships.
Yeah.
You just want you a little closer. Come a little closer, Serena.
Please come a little closer and do your best Brenda Vaccaro, if you could.
Hello.
And what about you? How was your week?
Oh, it was great. We had my nephew in, Reese. Took him all over. And, you know, he's from Utah. Mm-hmm. So there's bringing him to L.A. is sort of...
It's like bringing him to America.
Yeah, it is. It is. But no, just him walking, you know, the beach at Santa Monica and Venice Beach and all that, the eyes just have to physically be put back into his head.
Good.
But it's a great thing that we do with all our nieces and nephews when they turn 13, and this was his weekend, and he had a great time. And Monica's actually on her way back from the airport after bringing him there. So
really?
We had a good time.
Yeah. Now, this isn't the young man that's visited you in the past. It's only they only get one shot with you,
When they turn 13, they get a weekend, and they're carried around on a velvet pillow, and they get spoiled, and they get movies and hamburgers and pizza and whatever they want. And, of course, Reese being from Utah, the list was lengthy of different things that he
Can
wanted
I be
to do.
Adopted by
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
The velvet pillow especially sounds great.
Oh, no, it's great. And the other, there's so many of them now that the beauty of it is now they go back and it's legendary.
Of course.
So the people come with this fictionalized folklore. I actually flew while I was there. You know, the
yeah,
things
right.
that they say. It's just like the kids come back, and now the kids come back with a whole laundry list. I have to go to In-N-Out Burger. I have to go to the Apple Pan. I have to go to this and that.
It's all food related.
It usually is.
No culture, just
right. Exactly. Well, we're a simple clan. No. To mention that, the Japanese Garden, they're nuts for. Mm. The Getty, they were nuts for, because the Getty's got great burgers.
They have incredible food. Yes. Great location for lunch.
The pizza at the Getty. But before we talk to our I Love Lucy friends, we have someone else to talk to that I'm... Well, you describe it while I try to get him on the phone.
He is a four-time U.S. national champion, a four-time world champion, and an Olympic gold medalist. He is also a great humanitarian. He is a best-selling New York Times author, two books actually to his credit, and he is a cancer survivor, and he is a brain tumor survivor. And he's quite remarkable. He's been a friend for many, many years, and probably the most respected figure skater in the business of figure skating, Scott Hamilton, is going to be talking to us in just a couple of minutes.
And we're going to give him a call, and hopefully Scott will pick up. He's in
Palm Springs right now because he was working for NBC over the weekend commentating for Skate America.
Okay. Let's see if we can get through. We got the phone ringing right now. I hope he remembers that he's on the air as soon as he picks
and
up
I
the phone.
Can, right? Yes, I hope he doesn't think that it's my cell phone that's going to be calling him.
Well, we'll see. We'll find out soon enough. Maybe he'll call back.
Sorry, I missed. I'll leave a message and I'll call you.
Okay, so we'll try him again a little later.
Yeah, we're a couple minutes away, so we'll try him.
Okay.
He's probably on the golf course right in the middle of a, you know. Seriously.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a big golfer.
Huge golfer.
Right. Is he?
Anytime he can be there, he'd rather be there than on the ice. I mean, not that he's skating too much anymore, but yeah.
Oh, wait, you know what? Someone's calling back, and I bet you it's him. This is State of the Arts. Is this Mr. Scott Hamilton calling?
What's left of them? Yeah.
Hey, Scott, you're a skater, man. You should be able to get to the phone faster than that. How are you?
Oh, you know, I was talking, and Mike will appreciate that. I was talking to Phil Hirsch from the Chicago Tribune, I love the band. There's no one more passionate about Olympic sports than Phil Hirsch, so it took me a little bit to jump off. But hey, here I am.
There you are.
How are you?
Hey, Scotty, are you on the golf course? I was saying you were probably on the course and in the middle of a swing or something.
No. I'm sitting in the house. I was just, returning some phone calls that came in today, and that was one of them. It took a little bit longer than I thought it was going to take.
Yeah, so no golf for you on a day off, and you're in Palm Springs?
No, I did. I played today. I played this morning.
Oh, well, of course. All right. It wouldn't be the same, right?
Yeah.
A day off without golf? What are we talking about here? Hey, we are so grateful that you are coming on board here with us today for a few minutes, and we wanted to talk in particular, Scott, about your wonderful 12th annual fundraising benefit for your cancer foundation at the Cleveland Clinic. And this year, of course, it stars the amazing 9-time Grammy Award winner, Sheryl Crow. And tell us a little bit about it, Scott. Tell our listening audience what to expect or what they can expect at Scott Hamilton and Friends at the Cleveland Quicken's Loan Arena on November 5th.
Well, it's just, this event is just, it's continued to grow and it's continued to kind of blossom. It was started off as kind of a thank you after I was treated for my testicular cancer in 1997. I saw some things in the cancer community that disappointed me. There's some gaps in support and some gaps in user-friendly information. And I felt that you know, I survived cancer, my mother didn't, you know, what can I do in the cancer community to help out? So we came up with a couple ideas of, you know, how to fill in those gaps that I felt, you know, during my bout with cancer. And it was, you know, information, and we saw that with chemocare.com, and it was support. We saw that with Fourth Angel Mentoring Program. And the idea behind Fourth Angel is that when you're going through cancer, a lot of times you feel pretty isolated because, you know, the people around you don't really, you don't feel like they understand what you're going through, and you don't want to be pitied. You want to be supported, and you don't really want to, you know, just be, you know, you don't want to feel like, you know, you're sick. You want to feel like, you know, other people have done this, and you need that, that kind of lift. And so we decided to come up with a program that pairs cancer survivors with patients of similar illness and treatment. And it's been extraordinary. The growth has been amazing. And this event, and the one thing I realized that I could do was I could probably skate or get my friends together to skate to draw some interest and to bring in some, you know, financial resource to, you know, to give back to the cancer community that got me through my illness. And so year one, we had a few thousand people in the audience, which I was, you know, surprised. And we had a few hundred people at the dinner. And then year two, it got a little bit bigger. And then year three, it got even bigger. And then year four, it jumped because we had Aretha Franklin come in. We decided to, you know, go with a more iconic level of musical talent to go with our skaters, because the skaters were as good as they could be. You know, we had Olympic champions, Christy Yamaguchi has been every year, you know, Kurt Browning, now Dorothy Hamill is coming every year. And it's just extraordinary that we have all these Olympics and world champions and the greatest, you know, skaters of our time, and they're more than willing to do this. And so we felt that the music component of it would be a really great draw. And so each year we've just done a different style of music, a different type of show. And this year it just happens to be Sheryl Crow in our 12th year. I never thought it would go past five. And this year we're opening up more sections of stands, because the ticket demand has been so good, and the interest has been great. We have more sponsorship than ever before. Medical Mutual has come through with a huge donation, and American Greeting just came in, you know, recently as a sponsor. So we've won over the crowd. We've won over Cleveland, and we've really done a good job of raising a lot of money for cancer support programs and now research. We have 33 research programs going on right now that were all funded by CARES Gala. And after this year, there'll be a lot more. So we're just trying to do our part.
Well, you've certainly done your part. $12 million later, after you do this show on the 5th of November. And that's an amazing feat. And I know that it's very important to you, Scott, to see your passion is to see cancer eradicated in your lifetime. And
and if I remember correctly, Sheryl Crow is a cancer survivor as well.
She is a breast cancer survivor, yes.
Yeah, she had breast cancer, supported Dorothy Hamill. You know, Christy Yamaguchi has not had cancer in her family, but she's been a great fundraiser for breast cancer. And, you know, so a lot of people involved in cancer. Melissa Gregory had lost her mother to cancer just a few months before the first time they participated in the show, and now they're in the show every year. So we're really trying to give people, you know, an outlet to celebrate lives of those that, you know, have lost their battle to cancer. I mean, I think about my mom every single day, but especially when I'm doing that show. I lost her to breast cancer in 1977, and I, you know, I think about her every day, and this is one way for me, you know, I feel an opportunity, having survived cancer, to do whatever I can to keep the next family together. You know, I, when my mother died, it really fractured our family, and I saw what it did to us, and I figure if we can come up with a protocol or a treatment or a cure to some form of cancer, I mean, how many families are we keeping together, and how many parents are we saving, or how many children are we saving? And it's just the one night of the year I think about every single day. And I'm just so proud of what it's become.
And you should be, and you should be. And before, we should make sure that people know how they can do it. Tickets are available for this event by visiting www.theqarena.com. That's www.theqarena.com, or by calling 1-800-332-2287. That's 1-800-332-2287, or 216-420-2200. That's 216-420-2200, and that is the... This event is raising funds for the Scott Hamilton CARES Initiative.
And so CARES stands for Cancer Alliance for Research, Education, and Survivorship. And this year's gala is being presented by Medical Mutual of Ohio. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for
joining us, Scott.
Well, thank you. And I just so appreciate you including me in your program. And congratulations on all your success with this program. And onward and upward. I just hope you get more and more and more listeners every week.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Scott. Chat with you soon. Thank you again.
Love to the family.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Nicest guy walking. I'm telling
what
you.
He's a sweetheart.
Wow. And I think, I was happy about what he said about family and the importance of it, because I had exactly the same thought on Sunday night, because there are so few offerings, theatrical offerings, that, and this is one of them, this event. But what I got to see last night was the very definition of family-friendly theater and event theater and all-encompassing thing, which brings us to talking to our two in-studio guests today.
Yes.
Because there are not things that are offered. It seems like every time you go online to Gold Star or to look and see what the... And it became very apparent to me this weekend, because we had Reese with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go out and want to find some sort of entertainment for him. And I got to see I Love Lucy live on stage. And it's just... It was exactly... I was a little concerned going into it, because I was like, okay, how are they going to play with this idea of I Love Lucy? And how are they going to try to modernize it or update it or do some sort of anachronistic jokes or whatever to sort of poke fun or of that era? And there was none of that. It's a time capsule. It's like going back in time and just being dropped right into, is it 1951?
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with talking to Serena, and I want to give Michael, would you give her the proper introduction that she is due?
Absolutely. As mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, earlier, our first guest is currently on stage bringing life to the most legendary television personality of all time. No small task, but if the rave reviews she is receiving are any indication, she is hitting it out of the park. Please welcome Serena Irwin.
Oh, good, the crowd's back.
The crowd's back.
I was afraid I would get crickets this time.
do we have crickets here?
that's a lot of crickets. That's almost as good as the crowd.
That's
really
a 40-foot tall cricket.
Well, so, thank you for those kind words.
Absolutely. Yeah. Welcome.
So, Serena, I saw the show last night. Michael hasn't seen it yet,
but he's
going to see it shortly. Mm-hmm. And both of you and Bill have your work cut out for you, because mm-hmm. my wife and I were talking about this when we were driving home. You not only have to play the actor, but you have to play the actor portraying a character that America has already embraced.
Yeah.
And I think what was most interesting to me is that it's not an impersonation. It's a tribute to these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And how difficult was walking that tightrope for you? Do you find yourself, I mean, obviously you have those little bits of theatrical gravy that are the cry and the and all that.
The things you can't live without.
The things you have to have. But how, and we'll talk to both of you about this, but starting with you, how tough a tightrope was that for you?
Well, obviously, first of all, it was an incredible honor to even have the opportunity to start trying to embrace this character, which is so iconic, and who doesn't love Lucy? So it might have been a blessing for me, and I don't often use the word blessing, but I'm going to bring it up right here, that I didn't grow up with a TV. I didn't have an exposure to I Love Lucy that was like really informed my being the way mm-hmm. that I feel a lot of people do. And I thought, I was very frightened by that at first, and I thought, you know, it really is important that the person who's playing this character does have that.
Right.
And instead, since I didn't, I just really hopped into action. And I've said to Bill before, like, in some ways I felt like we're performing for our lives, because I know that if we weren't doing a great service to these characters, there are some fans out there that would be totally offended, and rightly so.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't want to die yet. So we just worked hard. And I think that probably in a way sort of helped me with that tightrope of not feeling like, and the producers and director were both very clear with us that they didn't want impersonations,
right.
That they wanted the characters honored and the show to be honored.
But, you know, and that's the thing. If I like Rich Little, I like impersonations, I like that. But that does not an evening make. I don't watch anyone. I don't want to watch anyone impersonate a character for 90 minutes.
And he does a terrible Lucy.
And he does a terrible Lucy. Yeah.
He was stiff competition, yeah. Though. I gotta tell you.
But that's just it.
And with you the wig.
Yeah. It was sad. It really was. You know. But that does not an evening make. And that's why you have to. And that's why it was so. It was just so. So wonderful to see, and I just really, really dug it. And there's other people in the show too that I want to call out later on. But how did you find the preparation for this when you're not doing an impersonation? You're creating, you know, honoring the character, doing the tribute to the character. How much do you go to old footage, or do you? Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, I didn't. I wanted to be familiar with the canon, but. You know, with the whole work. But I didn't want to do the imitation.
Blindly parrot.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. So I tried to keep it kind of like a loose information gathering, just sort of getting into the bones. And then, I mean, honestly, it's so much fun. As you said, the whole cast is incredible. The four of us that get to work together most in terms of our little... It was actually two clumps at first, at the beginning of the rehearsal process. It was the ensemble, and they're doing all these amazing song and dance and commercial numbers. And then there were the four of us, Fred being played by Bill Cott, and Ethel by Lisa Joffrey, and then, of course, Bill Mendieta and I. And we just felt like making the script honest and working with the foursome made it easy to do, because the actors are so honest and good.
Right.
So it was like, yes, we're informed by the TV, we're honoring the TV show and the originals, but then it was just, we have to be doing this scene, we have to do this show, and this is the arc of this, and serving that.
We have, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we actually have a gentleman on the phone right now who's calling in. Steve Kahn, I believe, is with us. Steve, are you there?
I'm here.
Steve
Hello,
is
Paul.
Here. Steve is one of the producers, so the executive producer of I Love Lucy Live. And Steve, can you share with us a little bit about the history of how the show came to fruition? And it began with basically with a set and no cast, right? I mean, if you really look back at its origin, way back.
You're talking about the previous tour that we did.
The previous tour, yes. The genesis for the idea, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah, it certainly was. 10 years ago, for the 50th anniversary of I Love Lucy, CBS came to us to commemorate the anniversary. And to do that, we built three of the main sets, the New York apartment, the Tropicana, and if you recall, the Beverly Palms Hotel set, full size and in color. Along with a bunch of memorabilia that we put together from fans and museums, and we took that around the country the first 2 years for state fairs, and then the second 2 years in casinos. Millions of people went through it, and we thought, well, and there were no actors, there was no acting involved in that. It was all just an exhibition. And we thought, gee, there seems to be an audience for something like this out there.
Yeah.
So David George, whom you know well, and I went to CBS, and we said, how about doing it this way? And over time, they said yes.
And it's just, it's kicking ass and taking names, as they say. You guys are selling out over at the Greenway Court Theater, and this is not the hope is that this is not the first stop, right? That it continues in different locations and different venues?
That is absolutely the hope.
Yeah.
In that you saw the show the other day, I know.
Yes.
It's a lot of show in a little space, so we want it to be a lot of show in a much bigger space at some time after the first of the year.
We should also tell people that one of the things, and I don't know if you knew this, Michael, but they replicate a taping. It's not just like you're seeing the shows being performed. It's it's like you're going into a taping in 1951, and that really just it not only gives you a beautiful framework for the show, but also intimatizes it tremendously. Yeah. And so I hope the venues aren't too big, Steve, because that intimacy was part of the appeal. You're not going to be doing arenas, are you?
No. And as you can imagine, and I don't know what you've heard from Bill and Serena thus far, we're getting chased by a lot of people. We're getting so much attention, it's almost surreal. And you're right, there's a point past which it wouldn't be intimate,
right?
Which it needs to be. So there's no way you could do it in an arena or in a 2,500 seat house.
Right.
The action would just be too far away from the audience, in that the audience is treated as though, as you say, they're there at a filming in 1951 or two. And it has to retain that flavor.
And that veneer never drops. I think that's one of the things that I loved so much about it. It has the, you're always there. There's no little anachronistic jokes that are thrown out or pop culture references from now and sort of like a wink behind the eyes type thing. It, from the point you walk in to the point you walk out, it's like a time capsule, like I said.
Yeah.
Really
and
enjoyable.
That's 100% by design with Kim Flagg and Rick Sparks, our director.
Yes.
And that was true of I Love Lucy, too, and it's one of the reasons why it's still on the air today, is if you watch any Lucy episode, there is nothing topical.
Right.
You never hear Khrushchev, you never hear Cold War, you never hear Eisenhower or Nixon. It's just Ricky Ricardo's in show business, and his wife wants to get in. That's
yeah,
the show.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the Honeymooners is another example of timelessness there, because they're not reliant on any, cultural references even, and that's why they have held up so well.
Yeah, and then the whole other story, which is too long to go into here now, is the fact that it was done on 35mm motion picture film. It looks the same as it did the day it was shot.
Yeah, Desi was no dummy.
That's for sure.
Well, thank you so much, Steve. Thank you for calling in. We're very grateful to have you on the air.
Thank you, Paul, and I'm sure you get all the rest of the information from Bill and Serena.
We will. We look forward to talking to them some more. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hope to see you soon. Thanks, Paul.
Bye now. Mr. Steve Kahn, executive producer of the show, along with Hira George and David George. And he also mentioned Kim Flagg, who is the... she wrote the supplemental in material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really great stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Now, it sounded like Mr. Steve Kahn was in his car, didn't it?
What? I don't know.
Driving, perhaps?
I don't know. I don't think
he was
in his car. Oh, yes. We know how you get, Michael.
Yes. Yes.
Is that a pet peeve of yours?
Oh, yeah.
But only with Steve, oddly enough.
No. It sounded like we had to do Charlie's Angels
for a second. I would be concerned for him.
He did. He sounded a little like Bosley.
Did
he? Didn't he sound? Hello, angels. Or maybe I just heard that.
Fantasies come
true. Do we have to talk about that on the air?
Oh, right along with your shoes, your pumps.
Shall we do our arts calendar very briefly,
calendar,
Michael?
Yeah.
And before we talk to Bill and continue talking about Lucy?
Absolutely. L.A. Theater, ladies and gentlemen, welcomes the appearance of a new theatrical producer, Front Foot Productions, and its first play, Don Nigro's Seascape with Sharks and Dancer, a moving, dark, and always entertaining love story running from November 4th through the 12th at the Sherry Theater in North Hollywood, California. When a young recluse pulls a strange woman from the ocean at 4 o'clock in the morning, a unique relationship begins and proceeds to take us on a journey through the painful, glorious, and wondrous terrain of trying to create a life together. Seascape with Sharks and Dancer is, as I said before, playing at the Sherry Theater in North Hollywood.
Currently an Ovation nominee for Best Season, Theater Banshee is proud to present the West Coast premiere of Dolly West's Kitchen by contemporary Irish favorite Frank McGinnis. As World War II breaks out on the continent, British and American soldiers gather at the West family's eccentric household in Donegal, Ireland. Old loves collide and new loves emerge as dearly held notions of patriotism, loyalty, family, and sexual identity come under fire. I always trip over sexual identity. Broken spirits, gay and straight, find peace in this extraordinary and humorous drama of loves during wartime. Directed by McCarran Kelly, Dolly West's Kitchen proves to be a beautiful new Irish landscape for Theatre Banshee, a company that's been transporting audiences to the Emerald Isle since 1995.
And, ladies and gentlemen, for further information about any productions and or events mentioned in today's State of the Arts Live calendar, visit us during the week at stateoftheartsla.com. We also suggest you drop in at performingartslive.com, where you can search for Southern California events in several different categories happening every day of the week.
His work in film, television, and as a fixture in regional theaters across the country has landed him on stage at the Greenway Court Theater as the larger-than-life Cuban bandleader Who Loved Lucy. Also winning critical acclaim for his portrayal of dashing Ricky Ricardo, please welcome Bill Mendieta.
They stuck around, Bill.
Thanks, audience, and the Who. Sorry.
Where is the Who?
Yeah.
They left.
So, Bill, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Your accent in the show is impeccable. When you came in, I totally expected to hear it come out of your mouth.
Well, I'd love to hear a little bit of it.
Can you give us a little of Ricky?
Can you?
Well, I don't know. You have to kind of pay a ticket for the show. It's better in person at the show, I must say.
What is it? What is the line? I don't. What is it? Do people think I speak like that?
Oh, people think I speak. People think I really talk this way, but I don't.
It really is when that light comes up and in the Tropicana set and you got your head back and you're holding the drum and it's just so iconic and it's just like there's almost like this audible gasp from the audience. It's sort of like something that you never thought you would get to see live. Mm. You're just such a part of your childhood or you're growing up or whatever, and then all of a sudden you get to see it. And you guys really have to feel that coming.
Oh, it's so fun. With Babalu, it's so fun because sometimes the audience actually, like, he's the Beatles or something for a moment. I mean, they go crazy. It differs, but some nights it's like...
Yeah, it's pretty awe-inspiring sometimes. Yeah. And like, oh, wow, here we go. And that's part of the pressure that we deal with. We have to get this right. And then there's also that blend of, you know, us as the actors bringing what we have to the role. So it's Bill Mendieta doing Ricky Ricardo and Serena Irwin doing Lucy Ricardo and the whole Fab Four together. And that's what's part of the fun with us.
And you know what I heard Paul Rodriguez say a couple of years ago, the comic Paul Rodriguez was talking about I Love Lucy, and he said, you know, it's huge with the Hispanic community because it was the first time that they heard people speaking Spanish on television.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and I just never really thought about that, but they sort of had, what a great representative to have, someone who's just so dashing and so talented and so, you know, and I don't mean Ricky, I mean you.
But. Oh, thank you.
Smooth, but, isn't
it? I know, really.
Well, you know.
May I ask, have any of the family come to see the show yet?
My family? No, well, I'm down in a few weeks.
Let's start.
No, the mafia. Has the mafia been yet?
I don't know. I mean, like, boy, there's a big pressure. Let me tell you. Get it right or not.
Desi Jr.
Start dancing.
Desi Jr. or Lucy?
Not that we know of yet. Yeah. I really do hope they come out because it is such a loving tribute to their family, obviously. And
well, they must have had to sign off on this too.
Yeah, I believe so. Degree, sure, right? The estate had to sort of approve certain things. Yeah. You know, it's so much more about, and I don't say this is a deficiency, it's so much more about Lucy and Ricky. Mm-hmm. And Lucy, you know, and Ricky Ricardo, and less about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. Although the little glimpses of that are very cool. One of the things that I loved watching with you guys are those little moments when you're on stage but you're not on camera. Mm-hmm. And just the carriage and the way they carry themselves like movie stars. I mean, I think a lot of people forget that Lucy was just, I mean, Lucy was a vamp. She was a movie star.
Yes, she was.
She was incredible.
She just decided, you know, embraced comedy, you know.
Yeah.
What was she? How old was she when the show?
41.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And the career, the movie career, was fizzling at that point. Yeah. It was sort of the TV that resurrected her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some radio shows.
And the radio.
She's doing
My favorite
too,
husband. But. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Now, is it true that the big, the long, long, long trailer, that movie that they did, was that, did that function sort of as a pilot for I Love Lucy, or was that made after Lucy had already started, you guys know?
I think that's made after, but I'm not 100%.
I think so,
that.
Too.
Yeah.
I think it was after the wild success of the TV series.
I was always curious about that.
Yeah.
I should probably research these things before I ask questions.
There's so much to do in life. You know?
I remember going to the drive-in movies and watching that with my parents. My parents were, you know, big fans. Who wasn't, right?
Yeah.
The Long, Long, Long Trail?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
and then laughing all the way through it. The car was shaking, popcorn going, you know, silly, silly, goofy stuff.
Cars were shaking all over, I'm sure.
Yeah.
For many different reasons.
Yes.
The driving.
No, no, it's log trailer. It's the trailer.
Oh.
Lady. Wait a minute. See,
how's
normally.
How's the trailer? How's the movie?
Normally I have these things, but I don't. But I'm doing it again. No, it's long trailer.
There you go.
Oh.
There it is.
Every single time, I gotta, you know, it kills the rhythm of the joke when I have to say, wait, let me find the sound bite.
Let me find my ba-dum bum.
So now, what, just in this brief run at the Greenway, has anything sort of interesting happened regarding audio? Because I mean, Lucy fans are rabid people. Have you encountered anything like people saying anything from the audience or getting involved?
Sometimes they'll say the lines that are coming up and
Oh yeah, out loud.
It tickles me. Like that, for some reason, really I love. How often are you in a play where people are saying the lines that you're just about to say?
Yeah.
It's so great.
Does that make you, does it throw you off in any sort of way?
Throw
you off?
No, interestingly it doesn't. It sort of feels like it all fits. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I think part of the thing that I always feel, you can weigh in on this too, but I always feel it is instantly I feel that the audience has a tremendous love for this project. I mean, mm-hmm. that's why they're there. They are in love with this show. It's been such a great part of their lives.
Oh, yeah. And it's people from all ages, from young, you know, five-year-olds now to you know, old people and the 80-year-olds who just love this show. So they have a natural connection with it. So when they come with it, sure, there's some expectations. But as you said, they go into the time capsule and they have a ball.
It's great.
Yeah, it's a
lot
of fun.
What are some of the musical numbers that you sing in the show, Bill?
Let's see. Well, we do the a vaudeville routine that that Lucy and Ricky actually and Desi did on the road. They actually tested it on the road before, so we do part of that.
Underneath the bamboo tree.
That's correct. Of course, we sing El Cumbanchero, Babalu.
Sing Babalu.
And oddly enough, Sweet Transvestite, which I found out of place.
Not that.
I didn't understand that.
It's a classic.
That's the one thing that kind of sticks out.
Yeah, it's just one of, you know, a lot of people didn't know that about Desi. But,
no, I'm sorry.
Please.
There's a lot of things they didn't know about Desi.
But there are all these incredible commercial jingles and...
The commercials.
Oh, they're fantastic.
They're outrageous. They're so good. The first time that we actually got to come together with the whole cast, and they did these songs and dances. The four
from
of
classic
us
classic commercials and some new ones,
and the
arrangements
so
by Wayne Moore, who made these possible, is just amazing. Yeah. They're just huge numbers, and it's been a lot of fun just to watch it on our end.
Yeah.
I want to call out, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Bill, I want to call out a couple of other cast members because their work was so good. Everyone is wonderful, I don't want to name anyone over someone else, but just what we're talking about. I think Mark Christopher Tracy has his work cut out for him as the host of the
amazing.
Evening.
He may have the toughest job.
And he's great. Really. And he's sort of the host of the whole event, and he's able to improvise in a historically accurate way. He's
using
pop culture references of that time. He was great. Amy Tolsky as the... We won't say who Amy is because we don't want to reveal anything. We'll just say that she does wonderful, wonderful work in it. And also Ed Martin, who I believe... Was Ed the dentist?
Mm-hmm.
Who does that? I don't know. The dentist. Yes. I just
different musical.
The thing on his head. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I was thinking Little Shop with Lucy. the doctor with the eye doctor. And I don't know who this actor is, but you remember him, and he does. This is one impersonation that they do. That actor who did so much work with Lucy.
Frank Nelson.
Yeah. Who has the and dead on perfect. I was howling, and my 13-year-old nephew was mortified because I was laughing so loud. But I just love the work that he did.
He's so fantastic.
It's wonderful, and that's some of the fun that we got to do with this theatrical production piece. Some of that. Wasn't in the actual episode. That actor, Frank Nelson, didn't play the eye doctor in the actual episode.
Oh, really? So no, he played the dentist. I don't mean to correct you.
Oh, yes.
But it was a different one.
And then some jokes that Kim Flagg added in, and it just brings to a really well-rounded evening. It's really fun.
Yeah, very, very much so. Very, very much so.
Now, when are you gonna... you do some warm-up at some point? Because
yes, I did.
Honestly think that is the
toughest.
It's
a tough job.
I did warm-up for the Jenny Jones show in Chicago for a while. And Jenny is just, to this day, just one of the sweetest people I've ever met. And she was a great person to work with. Incredibly generous employer. Christmas time was like, you know, Circuit City heaven. It was just, here's your TV, here's your this. It was wonderful.
So when her show ended, Circuit City went out of business.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That
a lot of people don't know it was related.
But to share one very brief story of my days doing warm-up, I knew it was over when I got hit with a weave.
What?
I was backstage.
You did not.
I was backstage, and two people were fighting on stage, and one person pulled another woman's weave out and threw it off stage, and I'm sitting there, and I just got hit in the face with a weave.
Wow.
And I was just like, you know, I think I'm going to go to Los Angeles. Because I don't want to sit in Chicago and get hit with weaves. But it was dealing with the Klansmen. Was the best thing. I had to follow Klansmen, and that was no comic has ever been told, hey, you know what, Paul? Go on, because the Klansmen have pissed the audience off. Win them back, would you?
Yes.
So that's what I had to do, and of course I had to embrace it. And I went out there and I broke the audience up into sections. It was homosexuals, Jews, and blacks. No, that's what we did. And we all sang Row, Row, Row Your Boat.
In
rounds.
That's great.
With Jews, homosexuals, and blacks. And the audience was peeing themselves laughing. And of course, the sheet-clad cousin stuppers that were sitting behind me didn't find it very funny, but we all had a great time. And it was not my proudest.
That was a scary kind of job to have.
Yeah, no, it was.
Seriously.
No, warm-up is hard because you have to, you know, much like you talk about doing tributes to people and this, they're not there to see you. They're there to see, they weren't there to see me, and you have to perform, but you also have to be a conduit to the main person. So for that reason, I appreciate what Mark Christopher Tracy is doing even more so.
Absolutely.
Because he really does. He really does.
Well, I can't imagine anyone doing it as well as you, and you said this gentleman is terrific, so now I'm really excited about seeing
Yes.
Cool. It's hard for me. I was going to do Lucy, but I can't because they don't have any Klansmen. And without the Klansmen, I'm just not there. We should baptize our two guests, shouldn't we?
We should.
Our special question.
This is something
that
we do every show, every guest. Lots of stars have sat in those chairs and told us their worst nightmare stories from evenings in the theater, on stage, or perhaps it's a motion picture or a television show. Shirley, you've got one. Right?
Or Laverne.
Serena's thinking. I think Bill's ready.
Well, I do remember one. You know, I'm a member of the Antaeus Company, and one time I went to see a show that they were doing, and one of the actors didn't show up. And so they asked, hey, Bill, can you come up and can you just, you know, do the lines and do it there? And I was like, all right, let's do it. And luckily, it wasn't a huge part, but this character was in like every other scene. So what we did, I had the script. The first scene I went out and did it, you know, on book, and then I didn't like that. So in between scenes, the stage manager gave me the blocking, and luckily I'm a quick study, so I just memorized it and went out there. But it was scary as heck. But it was a lot of fun.
No prep.
Just do it. It was a Balzac play too.
I was gonna say
what day.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
but see,
it was
that's
fun.
Like that's that like the actor trick. Nightmare though. I have nightmares like that where you just like, here's your script, go out and do it. And I'm getting anxious just talking.
Oh yeah. But what was nice that the cast turned around and gave me an applause at the end.
So. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Antaeus
is
the one that shares the Deaf West space, right?
Yeah.
Right there on
right. They just opened a show this weekend. It's A Piece in Our Time.
Yeah, they do great work, Antaeus Theater Company.
Yes, they do.
Yep.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know. I was playing Olivia in Twelfth Night, and Malvolio, you know, was supposed to come on with a letter at one point, and he comes on, and he has no letter. And then he goes, you know, madam, this letter, and then I'm supposed to take the letter, and it's all about the letter, and he had no letter. So, as he is delivering his speech, I'm thinking, how am I going to cover this? So I'm just trying to get into verse in my mind. What am I? And the only thing that keeps coming in, and I have to keep pushing it out of my mind, is, oh, yes, I did perchance see this letter as I was sitting on the toilet. I don't know why. I kept thinking.
Because that's where you...
Why? Leave my brain and I don't know what... finally came out, but it actually was, for some reason, a good cover. I can't recall what it was.
And it scanned, too.
Yes, yes. Well, commode, you have to say commode.
Commode toilet would have been terrible. Right. And that's part of the reason I...
And then what rhymes with toilet?
Yes. Toilet. To the, right. For the pentameter, that's toilet. Oh. Yes.
Or but commode. I have to say, in bringing it to Shakespeare, that kind of brings it back to I Love Lucy, live on stage. And the scripts are so tightly written, and the rhythm is so precise that I feel like sometimes it's Shakespeare in the sense that if you break that rhythm, it is so obvious. It becomes so apparent. You really can't, I mean, you cannot improv within that world.
Right.
I mean, if you do, it had better be very good.
It's pure comic economy. There's no fat on it. And it was the same three writers, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was a woman and
Bob,
two men.
Madeline Pugh Davis.
That's right.
Bob Carroll Jr.
And Jess Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm.
And the two episodes that they honor in this show is The Benefit and Lucy Has Her Eyes Examined. But before we forget, I want to give the stats on how people can... do you have the stats,
I do.
Michael, for how people can get tickets to I Love Lucy Live?
I do, and to purchase, would you like me to give them?
Please do.
To purchase tickets, ladies and gentlemen, call 800-595-4TIX, T-I-X, otherwise 800-595-4849, or go to their website, ilovelucylive.com.
And that is at the Greenway Court Theater. That's at 544 North Fairfax. And also, they have a great Facebook page, too, facebook.com/ILoveLucyLiveOnStage. And you guys have... It's already building a tremendous fan base there on the Facebook
page. I have a question for you, though. We have a couple more minutes, and you both have impressive resumes, to say the least, and you've both done a lot of screen work and a lot of theater work. Where is your heart? Where does your heart like to live? On the stage or in front of a camera or maybe a combination of both?
It's really both.
Yeah?
And it's really, you know, people often ask, what's your favorite project? It's usually the one I'm doing at the time, and I love it that way, so because it's always... And that's kind of the life we lead. It's, okay, we're doing this project now. This is my life. Oh, now I'm doing this film, and this is my life for that. And we're doing this project. And so, yeah, it's for me, it's a combination of both.
And you, Serena?
For me, I don't know, but I've been feeling lately more a draw toward theater, and I've been hotly thinking about moving to New York and really trying that out and just feeling a really strong draw for that. I do a lot of voiceover too, as you had mentioned at the beginning, and that's always wonderful because it feels sometimes very theatrical in the sense that you can play beyond what you look like, and which is true, I think, with theater too, because you have enough distance from the audience that, you know, there's some room for distortion with makeup and otherwise. And that's really what I love about animation especially is... Mm. Being able to go beyond what the face and body appear to be.
Because you do a lot of voiceover work. I mean vocal. I'm going to say
never enough, but of course. But I love it. I love it so much.
And Paul, I've never asked you that question. Now, Paul has done a lot of screen work, and he's a wonderful actor on the stage, and has done some very impressive things, from his own one-man show that he's done thousands of times throughout the country to being the managing director of a wonderful company here called Sea Glass Theater, and they just closed a production called Kvetch.
Kvetch, yes.
Oh, I heard about that.
What do you prefer?
Always live theater. Always live theater because of the immediacy of it. Because I Straight Up has a lot to do with that. I did a one-man show called Straight Up with a Twist and about 1,600 times. And over the course of 9 years. And it was I started it when I was 10.
Late.
Where's
the button?
I started it when I was 10.
Oh,
is this thing on? it's always that. It's always the immediacy of it, and that's why I would imagine that this is so rewarding for you guys, because theater by itself is already, you know, you have the immediacy of the reaction. But when you have something like this, that the audience goes in at least embracing some aspect of it, that's why they're there.
Yeah.
And then you guys are just there to sort of add the gravy to this wonderful meal that they already have in their head and just really make it. And
happen very often in theater anywhere, that you can go into a new project like this and have it be totally kind of pre-sold in people's minds that they do want to see it, whatever it's about, just because of what it's about.
Oh. You know, yeah, that's been
and
amazing.
Not only that, the most polite audience attendees we have never, well, I'd say maybe once or twice had to start late because people hadn't shown up. Like last night, everyone was there. 99 people were there at 10 minutes to 7.
Yeah, wow. That's unheard of.
Have you ever that's heard of that unheard in of. Los Angeles?
No,
I never have. Unbelievable.
I never have. The fact that you have those cast members actually pushing people in the doors,
oh, does that help?
You know, like the Japanese subway, I think right. That's brilliant. It's a great idea.
It's a new twist.
You're just lubing, you know, putting butter on the audience members to get them in. It was... No, but that says something. Says like this is event theater. My evening is around this. I'm going to plan for it.
You have to drive there. You have to plan every aspect of it in Los Angeles. It's tough to get people to the theater.
And we're getting people who don't normally go to theater to come to see this, which
and
is
we
a
hope
treat.
That this will
well, it's
be
the broad appeal of Lucy.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and we hope it's not their last time in the theater. I mean, that's. Obviously, hopefully. We all love theater, and that's why we're in this room together. But we hope that those people who are seeing theater for the first time might then be excited or enticed by it for the future.
Do it again.
Nice.
Some other way.
And young people, too.
That's the important thing. Get those youngsters in there.
Yeah.
Well, we have come to the end of our show, Paul.
We have come to the end, yes. And it was just a real pleasure having you two here.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
Serena.
And as a final reminder, it's 800-595-4TICS, and it's ilovelucylive.com. It was very fun. Michael, you should talk about it when you get to see it.
I will. I definitely will.
And we'll talk about
and
it.
And can I come backstage and say hello to you?
Please do.
Yeah. Oh, good.
We'll be insulted if you don't. Remember that.
They blocked me at the door.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. They had my picture up and everything.
Oh, Lord. Again? Oh, my God.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
They enjoyed it. Michael, I'll see you next week.
Thank you, Paul. See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.